Thank you, choir. Are you aware that the Christmas story did not end on begin with a happy note? Are you aware how the Christmas story really began? Would you go with me back to that beginning for just a bit? I want to share with you some lessons from Joseph. And that's where the story begins, with Joseph. What would you do? What would you do, guys, if the young lady that you had chosen to marry and you had pledged your life to her and you're betrothed, you're engaged, and you're doing everything within your ability and power to prepare for that wedding date, a day when you will bring that bride to the house you have prepared for her with the provisions that you have secured for her, but she shows up pregnant and you know it's not your baby? What would you do? Would you dump her? How could you trust her? What has she done to you? Who is the father? Who have you been with? Why are you not loyal to me? Didn't we make a commitment together? What have you done? Guys, what would you do? What would you do? I want to submit to you this morning that as honorable and noble, as pure as you know Mary to have been, Joseph was equally pure and fully devoted to God. And we're going to see that in three simple lessons from his life. Now, if you read the birth narratives, the Christmas story in the Bible, you're going to read from Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, you'll read the first two chapters. Matthew presents the birth narrative from Joseph's perspective. But if you want to read Mary's perspective, then you will read Luke's account. And the birth narrative is found in Luke chapters 1 and 2. So in the first two chapters of Matthew, we have Joseph's perspective. In the first two chapters of Luke, we have Mary's perspective. This morning, I want us to focus on Joseph's perspective. Matthew, the first two chapters. There are just a few select verses there, but I want you to hear from Joseph's perspective three life lessons that we would all be well served to embrace as we begin the official, formal preparation for the celebration of the coming of Christ. So do you have your copy of God's Word, either electronically or you may be like me, a little old-fashioned, and have a Bible, a paper copy of the Bible instead of an electronic. Now open your Bible to Matthew's Gospel. I want us to look at chapter 1, and there are five verses of Scripture we'll read. Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. And I'll give you a moment to get there. But yeah, have you ever stopped to ponder Joseph's part in the birth of Jesus and what he did to make this come about? Well, let's look at it together. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 19. Listen to what God's Word says. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And now move down to verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There are three observations I want you to note with me concerning Joseph. What are the lessons that Joseph teaches us for this season? I think the first lesson is that Joseph respected women. He not only respected Mary, he respected women. And we see this by the way he responded to the news that was broken to him that his betrothed bride-to-be was pregnant. How did he respond? I can assure you, he was upset. He was troubled within. How could this be? I mean, it doesn't take nuclear science to figure pregnancy out, right? It was obvious that she had been with someone else. And yet, how... She says, no. Who do you believe, the evidence or the testimony? Think about it, guys. Think about it. Who do you believe? What do you believe, the evidence or the testimony? And what happens when the testimony does not match the evidence? And that's the predicament Joseph is in. According to Old Testament law, and you can read the Old Testament law, one section is Deuteronomy chapter 24, beginning the very first verse. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, it talks about what happens if a man becomes dissatisfied or unhappy with his bride, which Mary was considered Joseph's wife because he was betrothed. It was a pledge. It was just a matter of time before the consummation, etc. And so here we have Joseph legally. He could put her away. And he considered doing that. But he did not want to embarrass her. Look at what the scripture says. In verse 19. The scripture says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example. Do you see what scripture says? He did not want to make her a public example because he respected her. He cared for her. And even though she had dishonored him, and even though his name was subject to ridicule, and even though he was in a very embarrassing position with friends and family and the community at large, and even though this was a bad, bad PR scenario, he genuinely cared for her. And he was going to do what he needed to do. But he didn't want to humiliate her publicly. What would you do, guys? What would you say first? Would you explode if the bride in your life or the one to whom you were engaged has all of a sudden obviously betrayed you, embarrassed you? what would you do? How would you respond? We don't know all the details, but what we do know is that Joseph did not respond in a rash way. He has, for whatever reason, contained himself long enough that God had opportunity to give him insight and understanding and guidance. And we see in this passage of Scripture how Joseph respected women. And women deserve respect today. Sir, could I just say this in a kind way? I don't care what your wife says or does to you. I don't care what she fails to do for you. Listen, she deserves respect. She is a person of great value to the Lord. So much so that God sent his son Jesus to give his life blood for her. And if God the Father would send the son to do that for the lady in your life, why would you not do that? And Joseph had every right legally by the law of God to put this lady aside, to put her away. But you know what he did? He chose, rather than put her away, to pull her to himself and care for her and protect her and provide for her and to see her through this crisis in her life. Is that not a lesson we need today? We talk about how fast people are to file a lawsuit against you. You mean, you stop and think about it. I think about public officials, and I think about all the businessmen, and I think about our teachers, our educators, and they are subject to such litigation, just nitpicking lawsuits. People want to file a lawsuit. I think it's ridiculous. It's ungodly. That is not how God wants us to resolve issues. We should attempt to work things out. But my goodness, when a man has been embarrassed, when a man has been wounded, so often he just strikes out. Loose lips don't only sink ships, but man, with every word you speak, you are condemning your own soul. By exposing such toxic waste of word, you are bearing mirror for all to see the recesses of your heart. But not Joseph. Look at what he did. So lesson number one is that Joseph respected women. And you and I need to respect women. God spoke through the Apostle Paul a beautiful word of instruction for men concerning their wives or that special lady in your life, the one, if you're not engaged to her, the one you really want to pop the question, but you're afraid she might say no because she's not sure of you yet or whatever. God's word tells us how to treat this lady, how to relate to her. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, purify, cleanse her, and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. He goes on, he talks about how men, husbands, are to love their wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might cleanse her, give her beauty and purity and wholeness through his provision of love and care, safety, security. That's lesson one from Joseph. Have you thought about this Christmas story in that manner? Ever thought about it? The lessons you and I need to learn, we need to learn to respect women. But look back at the story again. It is so rich with insight. Not only do we need to respect women, but Joseph also teaches us to obey God completely. To obey God completely. Now, look back at the passage of Scripture with me. Matthew chapter 1, down in verse 24, the Scripture says, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had instructed him." Just as the angel had commanded him, he took to him his wife, and he did not know her. He had no sexual relationship with her until after she gave birth to that child. And what do we learn here? We see Joseph obeying God completely. You back up to the earlier verse. It says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, he's bearing his heart. And now he demonstrates his mindset. And his mindset is this: more important than what I want to do and what I think I ought to do and what I think I have the right to do and need to do for the good of myself, Joseph said, I will obey God completely, fully. Just because the law says you have a right does not mean you are right in executing that right. Are you with me? What would have happened had Joseph executed that right? Who knows what would have become of Christ? Because what we also learn is that not only did Joseph take, he listened to what God had instructed him through the messenger, the angel, and he listened, he obeyed, he did what the Lord said was right for him to do. And he took that precious, young, pregnant lady under his arm. And he took care of her. Now, Dad, men, would you take care of another man's baby if it was your wife carrying it? Huh? Think about it. Do you understand? It was not easy for Joseph to do what he's doing. You say, oh, but he was Joseph. Sir, it could have been you. And listen, if you and I are the men of God that the Bible tells us to be, if you and I are the men of God that the world needs us to be, if you and I are fleshing out the precious blood, saving, transforming power of God in our lives, you and I would respond as Joseph did. You could have been the same man. But in the wisdom of God and in the fullness of time, it was Joseph. Because God knew the heart and the mindset of Joseph. You see, not only was Mary chosen, Joseph was chosen. What other man would do for this young lady in that day? What man here this morning would do it in this day? You see, we have the benefit of the full story. Joseph didn't know what was coming ahead. He only knew the pain and hurt of his heart. But he obeyed God. Not only does he obey God here, in verse 24, Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He did what God said do. Well, if you skip over to chapter 2, verses 13, 14, and 15, after the visit, it's about 2 years later or so, and after the visit of the wise men, the magi from the east, they had lavished their gifts upon the one born king of the Jews, incensed Herod, and Herod is wanting to know, where is that child born king of the Jews? Now, the wise men, we call them wise because of the choices they made. You see, wise men still seek Jesus, and wise men still obey God. And the angel of the Lord warned those men, don't go back to Herod. They were discerning. They knew that Herod wanted to hurt that child, harm, kill him. And so they left and went back home a different way. And the angel of the Lord warned Joseph of what was about to take place. And in chapter 2, verse 13, what does it say? Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And what did Joseph do? He did exactly what the angel of the Lord told him to do. As a matter of fact, the angel spoke to him in a dream, and Joseph, when he roused, he woke up, got up, and in the midst of the night, he loaded Mary on the little mule, and they leave for Egypt in the dark of night. You see, not only did Joseph obey God completely, he obeyed God immediately and did what the Lord told him to do, because Joseph was wise and he understood the significance of timing. Have you ever wanted to share with someone or tell someone that you love them and how much you appreciate them, but you waited, and they were gone before you had opportunity to speak? When you had the opportunity, you didn't do it. And then after the fact, you realize, man, I wish I had. Oftentimes, people share with me at funerals, I wish I had shared with Mom one more time how much I love her. I remember standing at the head of a casket at McGee, Mississippi, Mims Mitchell Funeral Homes. I was a young preacher boy then. I'm an old man now. But I was a young preacher boy then. I didn't know much about funerals. Had never done many. Hell, matter of fact, that was really some of the first I'd done. But anyway, I was there at the head of the casket. And bless her heart, this deceased lady had like 13 children. She had two sets of twins. And I stood at the head of that casket and began to wipe tears that were dripping from my chin as these adult men and women, one by one, came to that casket and they shared how Mama, thank you, Mama, for taking your Bible and teaching me about Jesus. And they started sharing their salvation testimony, thanking Mama for what Mama had done. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, oh my land. And I listened as they, with broken hearts and with joy at the same time, shared how grateful they were. Oh my goodness. Friend, if you and I don't take advantage right now of what the Lord prompts in our heart to say and share with others, we will miss it. And it'll be at the casket before we have opportunity to say what we want to say. and they won't hear you. You say, well, I just believe Mama heard me. Mama didn't hear you. She's dead. Tell her now. Tell her now. And I wonder about Joseph. I wonder if Joseph used the word lave and ahav. Hebrew, I love you with my heart. I love you with all my heart. I wonder how long it took Joseph before he could say to Mary, I love you. I don't believe it took long. Because I think he was obedient. And his relationship with God the Father was such that this man was more concerned about the pain and brokenness and the hurt and the fear and the future of his little lady than he was concerned about what people would say about him. Huh? Are you with me? He loved her. And we see this fleshed out. Why? Because he was obedient to God fully. The last thing I want to mention to you is that not only did he respect women, and not only does Joseph teach us to obey God completely, but Joseph also teaches us to trust God. To trust God. You see, in everything about Joseph in this story, we see a man who, in the midst of all the confusion and lack of understanding and hurt, in the midst of everything, what could he do? He chose to trust God. For me, that's beautiful. When you don't know what to do, and when you're not sure what the future holds, you feel very uneasy about the future. You don't know what lays before you in your life. What do you do? Trust God. You see, I want to share two verses of scripture with you, two passages, because I think Joseph would have turned to the Word of God. And he didn't have the New Testament like we do. So what would Joseph do? What life verse would he hold on to in his heart and in his mind to make it through this very difficult situation in his life? I think it's two verses that you and I can hold on to with regard to obedience, obeying God completely. Listen to what Scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Listen to the principle. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obey God completely. Do what the Word of God tells you to do. And then trusting God. Joseph had to turn to God. God, I need direction. Father, I need help here. And listen to what I think Joseph would have remembered from his teachings. I mean, he had the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Isn't that a wonderful life verse for Joseph and for you and me? I think so. This morning, as we begin the celebration of Christmas with the hanging of the greens and the poinsettias, with the Advent wreath, all the symbolism, the evergreen, the wreath, the circle, three strands intertwined to form a circle, a whole, something complete, represents the Trinity of God. The Advent wreath, we could talk more, and you'll hear more about this. The candles and what they symbolize and represent. The beautiful flower here on the poinsettia, the red, the green, life, blood, but the flower. Are you familiar with the flower of the poinsettia? Look at the flower. It is in the form of a circle. It weeps with nectar. Honeybees would love poinsettias. Just saying. But listen. It is in the form of a circle. And look at the little pedestals holding up the pollen. It's a picture of a crown of thorns. Such a beautiful flower, fragrant and sweet to the taste, bitter with a crown of thorns. A beautiful symbol of Christmas. In the midst of all the celebration, friend, don't fail to learn the lessons from Joseph. Respect women. Sir, it's not about you. Get over you. Your purpose as the head of the house is to serve your wife and your children and to be the man of God to provide security and safety and spiritual direction to the Father for them through the Savior, Jesus. Obey God completely. To obey brings the blessings of God. To disobey leaves you to suffer the curse of your choices. Sir, trust the Lord in everything. Can we agree this morning that these are three very pertinent and relevant lessons to learn from Joseph? But here's the question. See, a lesson learned is not one that you can recite back. And it's not learned because you took notes. And I see a lot of you take notes. I know you do. A lesson learned is one that you put into practice. It's what you do with it that really makes a difference. And so I'm asking you this morning, are you in a perplexing situation, a difficult situation in your life? Could it be that God is trying to speak clearly to you about a matter in your relationship with Him? Could it be this morning that you need to trust God? And you need to entrust your life to God and let God do in you and through you what He did in Joseph and through Joseph. It begins when you decide that you are going to choose and embrace Jesus Christ. There is a Savior waiting for you right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Savior that you gave to us through Jesus. We thank you for all that He is to us. Lord, we thank you for how you come to us and you speak to us even through men like Joseph. I pray, Lord, today that you would help us to learn these lessons from Him. And that we would be able to show respect for one another. That we would choose to obey you. And that we would trust you with our life in everything. And Lord, it begins now with a commitment to entrust ourselves to you. Lord, I pray that you would minister through your word and through the work of the Holy Spirit to the hearts of those present today. I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in their life in the midst of whatever perplexing situation they may face. Lord, help us to approach you. Help us, Lord, to entrust ourselves to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. I want to encourage you, whatever your life circumstance, I want to encourage you to do what God's Word says do in the midst of it. I want to encourage you this morning to trust Jesus. He is a Savior that is real and He is sufficient, and He will meet you right there where you are if you will just open your heart to Him. He's extended His arms wide, hanging there on Calvary's cross for us. He's asking you, would you come today? I don't know what may be going on in your life, but I know this. Whatever you may face, whatever you're going through, God, He is sufficient for your need. He will meet your need. He will empower you and strengthen you. He'll give you guidance and direction. Would you be willing today to say yes to the Lord? If you're ready to say yes, Lord, I want you to take charge of my life. I want you. And I need you. If you're ready, He is. Come down. Share with us. Let us share with you how you can have Christ and His guidance right now. Come. Come.
Sing together.